This is Hope Radio on Moose FM, a non-denominational Christian celebration of life in song, spirit, and word. Here's Tim Rout.
Welcome to Hope Radio. Jesus warns those who are going to follow him to count the cost of being a disciple, because obedience to Jesus could really get you killed. And we're going to look at three young men in the Old Testament whom a certain pagan king tried to burn alive for their faith. Heavenly Father, as we enter now into this time of worship, we give you all of the glory. We ask that you would prepare and instruct our hearts. Grant us to understand with depth all that your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. Unspoken kicking us off. Good Fight on Hope Radio.
Until you stop breathing, till you stop bleeding, until your heart stops kick drum beating. When it's hard times, when it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes, and you're feeling all alone. Keep fighting the good. Step, giving you the next breath. I'll be the voice saying you're gonna make it. When you're out there on your own, you are never alone. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you. Always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good.
With Tim Rout, opening hearts and minds to faith and joy on Moose FM.
A long time ago, in a land far, far away, the Creator of the universe determined to bring judgment upon his chosen people, a nation called Israel. The Creator God had ordered Israel to obey certain laws designed to promote the general welfare and bring blessing to the land, but the people utterly refused. One law in particular, that of the Sabbath year celebration, where debts would be canceled, the farmland would be left to rest, and the people would be free to worship more earnestly before their God, was a commandment that Israel never obeyed, as far as we know. For 490 years, God's chosen people refused to do as he required. The fields never lay fallow. Debts were never forgiven. In fact, they were often collected with the sort of harsh indecency one might expect from a member of the mob. So, when God's patience finally ran out, he exacted punishment. Sometimes, one of the ways God would punish a nation, whether it be Israel or some other, would be to incite one of the powerful empires of history to attack them. And from 605 to 586 BC, in four consecutive waves, God brought the Babylonian Empire down on the southern kingdom of Israel, called Judah, and carried off most of the people into slavery. This period of exile, as it was known, lasted for 70 years, 1 year for each Sabbath year Israel had not obeyed God. Among the millions of people captured by Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar were four especially handsome, intelligent, and godly young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Given their attractive and useful qualities, the king's officials quickly set the young men aside for special service to the royal court. I should mention, Hebrew names usually have specific meanings. For example, Daniel means, God is my judge. Hananiah means, grace of God. Mishael means, there is none like God. It's actually a rhetorical question. Who is like God? The answer being, no one. And Azariah means, God is my helper. If it's not obvious, all divine references in all Hebrew names refer to Yahweh, the God of the Bible. But the Babylonian civilization, like all others among the Gentiles, was pagan. They worshipped made-up gods, represented by man-made statues and other images. Like most nations, Babylon had many false gods, upwards of 2,000 by some estimates. One of King Nebuchadnezzar's chief officials gave the four young Hebrew men new Babylonian names in honor of some of these false gods. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, meaning, may Beltis protect the king. Hananiah was called Shadrach, the meaning of which is uncertain, though it sounds a lot like the Aramaic word for nipple, which could be a reference to a fertility goddess. Mishael was renamed Meshach, which means power, the implication being Babylon's gods are more powerful than those of other nations, a thesis that will be soundly refuted in today's text. And then lastly, Azariah was renamed Abednego, which means servant of Nego, another false god. Somewhat ironically, the Lord, who is the ultimate author of Scripture, has chosen to remember Daniel by his Hebrew name, while the other three lads are almost always referred to by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, perhaps as evidence that King Nebuchadnezzar had authority to change their names, but not their hearts. As we'll see today, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego belonged to Yahweh. Or to use a New Testament term, they were saved, and would demonstrate this through a remarkable act of faith that could easily have cost them their lives. We're in Daniel chapter 3 today. If you have your Bible handy, turn to the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 3. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. This is a really long passage. We're going to take it in chunks. Let's start with verses 1 to 7. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, its breadth 6 cubits, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors and counselors and treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps and the prefects and the governors and counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Like most pagan kings, Nebuchadnezzar considered himself to be something of a god, yet his idolatrous theology nevertheless required him to placate his false gods, lest they become angry and stop giving him the supernatural support he needed to conquer and to rule. It's unclear whether the Babylonian monarch actually believed in his gods literally, or merely saw them as a convenient political tool, like Julius Caesar later would. But in any case, Nebuchadnezzar set up a massive golden statue to one of his gods, possibly Marduk, on the plain of Dura. It was 9 feet wide and 90 feet tall. Notice that the inauguration of this statue was an all-hands-on-deck affair. There was no calling in sick, no sending one's regrets. Every official of every level gathered on the plain to, and don't miss this, worship. That was the command. When the music plays, bow down and worship, or you will immediately be executed in the furnace. We too live in a culture that demands our worship. Every system, even a supposedly secular or atheistic system, has its god, and that god will always demand your worship. In many cases, the government itself is seen as the highest authority. Our culture has its own orthodoxy, too. If you commit the heresy of saying, unborn babies are people who should be protected under the law, or marriage is between a man and a woman only, you'll soon discover the religious zeal with which many in the culture will call for your head. We continue from verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever! You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the hornpipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Notice some details. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were highly intelligent and productive Jews whom God had blessed with positions of political significance in Babylon, and that made some of their Babylonian co-workers rather jealous. Slaves ascending to the status of courtiers? Absurd! Insulting! The text explicitly says these Chaldeans, Chaldea was the name of a country that Babylon had conquered, these Chaldeans accused the Jewish men maliciously. They wanted to see these Hebrew upstarts go down hard. Kind of ironic, really, given that the Chaldeans were themselves slaves of Nebuchadnezzar. The accusers then cite the specifics of the king's edict and show that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in fact, violated every syllable of it. And they did. That's not a lie. The text doesn't say the Babylonian officials lied, but merely that their motives for telling the truth were spiteful. It's true that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had ignored Nebuchadnezzar's order to bow down and worship before the great golden statue. It was also true that the young men had refused to worship any pagan gods. They were loyal to Yahweh. Around the world every day, Christians are persecuted, arrested, beaten, imprisoned, some of them even killed, for having done everything right. There's a famous case on the world stage right now, a Christian man overseas facing the death penalty on the charge of sedition. Why? Because government officials found him in possession of a Bible. And he insists, even sitting on death row, that Jesus is Lord over the ruler of that nation. So if you hear of Christians being arrested, whether there or here, whether charged with one crime or another, be slow to judge. Be slow to disassociate with them. Things aren't always as they seem, and the godless frequently act from impure motives. Then picking up the text at verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. And so they brought the men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, fair enough. But if you will not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And whose God will deliver you out of my hand then? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to give you an answer in this matter. If what you say is so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image that you have set up. Some very important details to note. Firstly, King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't just calling out the lads. He was calling out Yahweh. What God is there who can save you from my hand? That's a gauntlet drop if ever there was one. Secondly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not prophets. Nobody told them the future. They were average, everyday, ordinary believers like any born-again Christian today. They knew what God's law required of them. They trusted their heavenly master with their whole hearts and recognized that he was completely able to rescue them if he should see fit. Amen and amen. But don't miss this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know whether Yahweh would come to their aid. Yes, our God is fully able to rescue us, but even if he does not, we will not bow the knee. It's a bit of a controversial statement in some Christian circles, but so what? Our singular authority is the Bible. It's an important lesson to be learned. Standing up for the Lord is no guarantee that you won't catch a bullet. And down through history and to this very moment, it has pleased our great God and Savior to rescue certain of his children from trouble and even mortal peril. But it has also sometimes pleased him to see his servant die in service to the kingdom. Faithful to the end, all glory to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego recognized that they might very well be taking their last breaths, but it didn't matter. They knew the one true and living God who had saved their souls already. A few moments of agony in a superheated furnace, followed by what? An eternity of comfort and peace and joy with the Lord forevermore. Don't count on Western civilization or the Constitution, your favorite political party, a good lawyer, or your own wits to keep you safe. Jesus is Lord. Lean on him alone, obey him always, even if that means disobeying a human ruler. No compromise, not ever. No negotiating with the devil. Stand firm to the end, because for the Christian there is no bitter end. Verse 19 and following, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face changed. Against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it usually was. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, still wearing their cloaks and tunics and hats and other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace because the king's order was so urgent and the furnace so overheated. The flames of the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning, fiery furnace. There's a lesson to be learned here. Even if God should choose to rescue you from the flames, that doesn't mean you won't be thrown into them. And to be clear, these were serious flames. There is no natural explanation for surviving this. Even the men who threw the lads into the fire were lit up. What comes next is a miracle. And that's why non-believing so-called Bible scholars will tell you that this story can't possibly be real history, but of course, that's what they always say about anything supernatural. They don't believe the Bible. And the Bible is an altogether supernatural book. Continuing at verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and declared to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the flames? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, but I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. We're not entirely sure how this furnace was designed, but it seems that it may have had an open structure into which one might be able to gaze from a safe distance. Whatever its design, Nebuchadnezzar was stunned to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in the midst of the flames, with a fourth man, a very strange man, walking about unhurt. That's not possible. Yet, there it was. Some people have flippantly referred to the king's reaction as his come-to-Jesus moment, but it wasn't. The fourth man in the flames was either an angel of God or, as most conservative scholars argue, a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. There are several such appearances in the Old Testament. But Nebuchadnezzar's identification of this fourth man as one who looks like a son of the gods does not mean that he's being converted. By the way, the King James Bible got this one wrong. It does read, a son of the gods, plural, not the son of God, singular. There's no definite article. A little bit of a conjectural emendation there. But of course, Nebuchadnezzar being a pagan king, making an instinctive observation, looking at something he knew to be supernatural, would frame the identity of the fourth man in language that made sense to him. This wicked, arrogant pagan king who thought himself untouchable and unbeatable had just gotten his bell rung by someone he correctly understood to be superhuman and incredibly powerful. But even then, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't give up his paganism or declare that Yahweh is the only true and living God. He merely attempts to placate the Hebrew deity by referring to him using a perfectly biblical title, the Most High God, that in fact expresses Yahweh's absolute sovereignty, yet in Nebuchadnezzar's pagan mind leaves room for his gods to remain standing, though perhaps at a distance. We know this because of what occurs in the next chapter. We'll get to that another time. And notice also that the mysterious fourth man in the flames did not exit the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He wasn't there to confront Nebuchadnezzar or make an impression on the crowd. God had shown up for his servants' benefit, and he had ministered to their needs. And even though others could see the effects of this, they could not experience the grace they were witnessing. That was for the believers alone. And the same is true today for you, Christian. God does something miraculous in your life. The pagans look on and say silly things like, boy, is this your lucky day? But of course, there is no such thing as luck. There is a sovereign God who rules his universe. Then verses 27 and 28. And the satraps and prefects, the governors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. There was no smell of smoke on them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command, and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Again, please don't see this as Nebuchadnezzar's conversion. This lifelong pagan still held himself to be a god, just a considerably smaller god than he had previously believed. But the king does nail certain details on the head. Yahweh is able to deliver his servants from even the most perilous situations if he so wishes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego merely extended the empty hand of faith, trusting their god and setting aside the command of the civil government. If the government commands that which God forbids, or forbids that which God commands, then we must always obey God, even if that means disobeying the civil authority, no matter the consequences. And we, too, must yield up our bodies to the flames. Don't start an insurrection. Don't blow your top and tell the governor what you really think of his parentage. Just submit to Jesus, disobey the king, and bless God, who might very well save you from the flames, or not, as he sees fit. Remember, the Lord always does what will most greatly glorify him. And more often than not, that is something he doesn't bother to share with us. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we don't know the outcome or what it will cost us. We only know what it means to obey. Then verses 29 and 30, we have King Nebuchadnezzar's closing proclamation, and there the story ends. Therefore, I make this decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid ruined. For there is no God who is able to rescue like that. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. In the New Testament, Christians are told that all who seek to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. If I'm living boldly for Jesus, it is inevitable that eventually it's going to cost me. But that's what it means to be a disciple, and that's the kind of cost counting you want to do before you step over the line of faith. That's a lesson Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had learned in early childhood, and even though they were young men when their fiery ordeal arrived, they were well-equipped. But not because of any intrinsic qualities in them, but because Jesus was there with them, carrying them, protecting them. And he's here with you too, my brother. The victory is guaranteed. The Lord has already won. Heavenly Father, there's a lot here to think about. Would you grant that this wonderful historical story of these three servants of yours would seep into our minds and help shape our hearts and hold us and protect us and grant us great courage to stand firm no matter what. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There have been many fantastic Christian hymns down through the centuries. So rich, so clean, so instructive, so eminently biblical. It's no wonder that many modern Christian groups are starting to sing them again. Here's Casting Crowns, "'Tis So Sweet," on Hope Radio.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved you more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him . I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I
trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
Tim Rout has served as a Christian pastor for more than 20 years. Listen every Sunday at 10 a.m. for more Hope Radio, a celebration of life in song, spirit, and word on Moose FM.